there's no easy way of saying this other than I am not necessarily disappointed, but I am highly upset at what it is that I witnessed upon me watching Transformers Rise of the Beast. This movie was bad. It was very bad. I honestly, truly believe it was like one of the worst movies I've seen all year. I've never been as unbelievably bored watching a movie as much as I have with this, to the point where I got tired of rolling my eyes at every little ridiculous thing that was really done at the behest of truly nonsense. And upon me actually watching this movie, I then backtracked and watched Bumblebee, a movie that I enjoyed upon it originally coming out, and then rewatching it again, noticed a lot of more issues than from, you know, after the whole fanfare aspect of it kind of went away, noticed a lot of more issues that then I hope didn't carry on into this movie, and which I was sorely mistaken, as they didn't carry on any of the mistakes that happened in Bumblebee, but instead created a lot other ones. They created more mistakes, and then they build on those in the most ridiculous fashion ever. So, without further ado, I'm going to get into my review, but I would just like to inform people, because of how I'm going to break this down, I don't want to really ruin anyone's time if they decide to go watch this movie, but I urge you not to watch this movie, as I don't think it deserves support or garners any type of viewership, thus making sure that what they're trying to do with this franchise does not happen. But at the same time, someone takes note of exactly what it is that they need to do in order to make sure Transformers becomes an actual money-making franchise that it could be, rather than what it is that they are doing. So I'm going to break it down into three parts. First is going to be my no-spoiler review. Second will be a spoiler review. And third will be my take on the franchise itself or what the movie did as a fan of Transformers. So without further ado, I'm going to get into it. I said that twice. But for the most part, this movie has a nonsense story. A lot of elements that run together just absolutely make no sense. The main character, aside from being an incredibly bland character, has absolutely no type of screen presence whatsoever. You have multiple moments in which they have him taking the main stage in terms of talking or trying to rally the troops together with a speech or something like that, but nothing that actually is substantial or fits within the character. It doesn't really feel like it's coming from anyone influential. This kind of was like the same issue that came with Mark Wahlberg in the last couple of Transformers movies, where you're here and they're telling me you're the main character, but you're not likable. I know you're a likable and good and talented actor, but in this movie, for whatever reason, how they wrote your character is not likable at all. In fact, you're downright ridiculous. This honestly really hindered a lot with the movie, as well as the addition of Pete Davidson's character, who played Mirage within the movie. I recently saw like an interview where, or not an interview, but an article that stated that essentially he stole the show, or, you know, he like every scene that he's in is basically fantastic and great. And I'd have to admit that there is some truth to that, but ultimately it comes for the fact that no one else had any type of screen presence. Literally no other character really talks as much as they had Mirage. Honestly, you see them force his character into so many different elements as if the movie needed to insist on his character taking main stage. It did not garner it nor justify the actions of him taking main stage, but they did everything they could to make him basically stick out almost more than Bumblebee, an actual known and well-represented character within the Transformers franchise, which honestly is incredibly insulting and very much disappointing within the movie series itself generally. So it really felt off and it really felt unappealing when you see exactly how much they gave in terms of screen time towards the character of Mirage. Hell, he's even the same height as Bumblebee, and Bumblebee, in terms of Transformers lore, is supposed to be the smallest of the Transformers. But that's later. That's much later. But still, it just felt very off-putting and incredibly forced in how much they just did whatever they could to shovel Pete Davidson in every scene, thus kind of making sure that he would take center stage with every scene. The acting and the voice acting that he did was, you know, it was palpable. You can stomach it, but it wasn't anything that was fantastic. Honestly, again, you kind of wanted more things to come from an interaction between the other Autobots rather than just Mirage himself. But the movie mainly focused on just Mirage as well as the human counterparts, which honestly has always been a folly of all the Transformers movies. And for whatever reason, this one did not change that one bit. It fell within the same plot devices that they generally give, which is the slow start and trying to figure out the life of the main character, dealing with whatever it is they're dealing with before their interaction with the Autobots, and then upon them being with the Autobots, and then the movie plays out from there, blah, 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 they save the world. That's how all of them have always played out. But with the addition of the Maximals within this movie and the majority of the promotion being that they're introducing the Maximals, it felt as if they needed to bring them in more or essentially have more screen presence with those characters as well as the Autobots. But instead, again, the movie fell to the wayside because it delved more within the human aspect, this time starting off with two main characters rather than just the typical one who kind of bring someone else along with them for the ride. But this generally was just very disheartening, guys. Like I said, it was incredibly distracting and annoying when it came to the movie, as multiple things happened that just kind of put the humans at the forefront of whatever problem and situation that they had without really justifying the necessity of keeping them there in the first place. You had generally a lot of things going on that just kind of felt off-putting and not really well done, where characters would say certain aspects or bring up certain things that kind of move the plot along, but essentially it didn't make any sense within the confines of the story. So they just said this, like they would say this is this, but then they would give no explanation as to how does that make any sense with what's going on. Like, how do you justify this happening? How do you justify that happening? I'll get into more detail with that in a little bit later, but just more so a very nonsensical aspect, which then again led to me rolling my eyes to a lot of aspects, because they would just bring up something, not acknowledge it, and then move on. So they just bring up something and move on, bring up another thing, move on, bring up another thing and move on. Nothing was actually answered or really done, but stuff just kept happening and it wasn't entertaining, despite the fact that, yeah, there were moving pieces going around, but nothing was generally being done, thus making it feel incredibly hollow and empty and honestly very much boring. And I urge people to not go watch this movie. It is not worth the money at all. It is not something that you generally want to see. Hell, go watch Spider-Man another time if you want to, or just save your money up for Flash. That's coming out in a couple of days. But this was something that just was inexcusable. And then upon leading into multiple elements within the story where, again, they kept forcing their hand when it came towards the human interaction or just overall justification of the humans being there, just felt so bland and tacked on and just uninspired that it just made the movie such a trudge to go through. I've never been so incredibly bored watching a movie in so long, because typically, you know, you kind of pick out ones that you might be interested in seeing. And this was something that I thought, you know, it being Transformers would still be somewhat entertaining. Hell, even the movie with Mark Wahlberg is very much entertaining in the very beginning of the movie before it gets into the more ridiculous aspects of it. But not the one with the knights and the girl from Dora Explorer. Not that one. That one is just a shit show all the way through. But this one reminisces a lot with that one, if you will, without the giant spectacle that one presented with making it to where Unicron was the planet. This one essentially felt on that same realm where it's like, well, we're just making up stuff as we go to try and introduce and have more elements going on, but we're not really given any type of context as to why you should really care. Why is this really a threat? Why are the humans here? Why do the humans even matter to be here? Why? And the movie just insists on moving on without answering any of these questions, which honestly, I don't even know if that would have helped the movie in any way, shape, or form, because it in itself was, again, a hollow mess. But it just would have justified a lot of the actions that would take place within the movie. And that's generally all that I want to cover within my overall review. So don't watch it. Now that hitting the 10-minute mark, this is my review, spoilers. So if you are done, you don't want to hear spoilers, all right, I suggest you, you know, tune out. Thanks for listening. See you later, Space Cowboy. No, I didn't. All right, I need a sip of water. Okay, spoiler review. Here we go. Fuck this movie, man. Jesus Christ. This movie just had so much wrong with it. It didn't make any sense. The movie starts off with the Maximals being on their own planet, and then the Unicron essentially having these searchers go onto the planet to get stuff for him. Apparently, for some reason, he needed that, even though Unicron's capable of eating planets. Even then, he had like an army of people rather than just, you know, one that was dedicated to just doing whatever it is that he needed to be done. He was looking for a transdimensional warp key, but he didn't explain how they knew how to find it. They didn't say that they could sense it. They didn't say it gave off a certain amount of energy that they could track or anything like that. It was just that that's what he was looking for, and his planet just somehow happened to have it. And it was with the Maximals. So then the Maximals take the key and leave off planet to go somewhere else where they can hide it. And then, lo and behold, they landed up on Earth. This is when things get wiggy. So then later in the movie, you actually see that Optimus Primal meets Optimus Prime, to which he replies that he was named after Optimus Prime. And then earlier within the movie, you had Air Razor referred to the Autobots as someone when they asked who she is, and she says, "I'm someone from your past as well as your future," which was incredibly vague and trying to be mysterious, but it honestly didn't make any fucking sense, because it's not as if they needed to keep it a secret that they are, you know, if you're going by what the actual Maximals were within Beast Wars, it doesn't make any sense to kind of say that, because this movie didn't clarify any of that information. So if you happen to be a fan of Transformers, you might understand that aspect, but if you're watching this movie, it didn't clarify that, so it didn't make any fucking sense. So then upon them seeing Optimal Optimus, when he refers to Optimus Prime, he says, "I was named after you." To then also kind of justify that, yeah, they might be from the future or something like that. But then that brings in a big ass question about what the hell they are doing with the transdimensional warp key, if it's capable of setting them at different points in time. So if it's capable of taking them to different points in time, then why didn't they just use it to either go back in time to before their planet got ravaged by Unicron and escape, or mount a worthy defense or move their planet entirely or something like that? If it's capable of moving Unicron, then wouldn't they be capable of moving their own planet? No justification of this whatsoever. No one talks about it. No one brings it up. No one clarifies it or whatever. They just had that happen, and then they met the Autobots. And again, it's not as if they were worried about actually interfering with the Autobots, because they do. They have no problem with it whatsoever. They generally do not give a fuck that they're talking to the Autobots. Again, making it incredibly weird. And also, if they happen to be creatures from the fucking future, then wouldn't that mean that the planet that they're on should have been Cybertron, not some force-dense area that looked almost like Earth? Because again, they're the descendants of the Autobots, so that just doesn't make any fucking sense. And again, like I said, this movie does not clarify shit, so it just kind of brought that up. He said, "I was named after you," and then they moved the fuck on. No one questioned it, no one asked what that meant, no one even gave a fuck, and it's so unbelievably stupid. But you had a majority of the movie kind of feel like that. Now, the main character, didn't care to remember his name, doesn't matter. I wish Shia LaBeouf came back. Hashtag, I wish Shia was back. The main character is a Puerto Rican kid, essentially trying to get a job so he can help pay for his brother, because he had sickle cell anemia, to pay for his treatments, to which they were behind on the money, you know, blah, 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 just to make the main character seem sympathetic. Now, he's ex-military. He used to be a soldier, but he's also very much tech savvy. Another issue with this movie is that none of that comes into play whatsoever. Hell, he's given a goddamn super suit later on within the movie, which also doesn't justify that, you know, because he's military, that means that he knows what he's doing. It's generally honestly, it fits within the realm of what they like. It should have been like what they did with the first G.I. Joe movie when they got super suits. But honestly, it looked just like those. And then considering what they do with G.I. Joe later on in the movie. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes, that's right. You heard me. G.I. motherfucking Joe is a thing that pops up within this movie. I'm going to get to that a little bit later. But you have the main character who essentially is constantly shown in the very beginning as a sympathetic person that you might feel for. Hell, the fact that he needs money and then he's denied a job is something that's like, he's supposed to be like, oh, but then what's even dumb is that it started to seep in those different moments in which, you know, they kind of had to make the director shut the fuck up about his inability to talk about race within these movies, because that's incredibly stupid. But you had a moment where essentially the guy was talking to the main character, the guy he was supposed to get a job with. He was speaking to him, and in the most unprofessional way, he just canceled his appointment without actually calling him and let him know that he's not going to do the job interview, but he just canceled it outright, which is incredibly stupid and honestly just like such a hassle. Like, why would you put someone through something like that, even if you don't care to work with them? But it's like, unless you purposefully want some type of situation to happen where he comes down to the office and then you could tell him in his face, no, you ain't getting the job. Stupid, right? But and then it's supposed to be set in the 90s, and that still seems like that's still something that was like professionally done. No, where, you know, your interview has been canceled, sorry for the inconvenience, you know, that's all that it takes. But you had the main character essentially confront him, to which he revealed that the main character essentially was let go from the military because, well, while he was in the military, he had issues when it came to like working in groups or like listening to authority, blah, blah, blah. And then for some reason he said, I can't work with you people, to which the movie quietly pauses, zooms in on the main character's face, who is a Puerto Rican, and to which he looks and goes, you people. And it's like, oh my goodness, why? And one of the many times I've rolled my eyes into this stupid curmudgeon of a movie. And it's like, well, according to the context of what he's talking about, he's not talking about your race, but because of how this movie is framing it, it seems like he's talking about your race. And that's incredibly stupid. But there's a lot of that going on within this fucking movie, and it's just so overbearing and stupid because it doesn't fit, much like a lot of the plot points within this movie, that it just makes me roll my eyes so goddamn much because of how fucking stupid it is. So then upon him going home, he then, you know, starts to, you know, much like every young person who can't get ahead when they live in a terrible neighborhood, you start going to crime to make quick, easy cash because his brother is sick and, you know, got to be sympathetic towards him. His sickly brother. I got to do crime because I didn't get a job. But it's like, that doesn't make any sense because, like, once you have multiple jobs set up, not just really one, if you were this hell-bent on looking for a job, you would probably have more jobs lined up that you were still applying to. Also, why would you then get a job that essentially purposefully requires you to have someone that you know will give a negative references, like someone who will basically give you who gives a negative review on your person depending on how they felt with you and your actions and whatnot. Who does that? No one does that. No one in the history of this world will sit there and give an employer the actual number to their, so like a brand new employer, you wouldn't give the actual number to someone that you know would have nothing but negative things to say about you. You'd give it to a friend or something like that, that would answer for that friend. And you would tell him all that he would need to know in case, you know, military jargon comes up and shit like that. And it's like, you would be right there next to him, feeding the information. It's simplistic shit like that, you know? And this is not like this is new to the 90s or anything like that. People lie on resumes all the fucking time. So it's not that big of a goddamn deal. And again, it's not as if he would have been paid immediately upon him getting the job, because the brother needed the money soon. He was sickly. He needed treatments. And then they were like, they're not going to be able to treat him because they don't have any money. They're like 3 months behind. So he needed quick cash, but essentially this movie had it to where he turned bad as soon as he did not go, like as soon as one job interview just kind of denied him. And it didn't make any sense, because why wouldn't he have multiple ones stacked up? And if anything, all you could have did were refer was like, hey, this is the one that I know I'm going to get. Or I was like, you know, I keep looking, but this one for sure I'm going to be able to get. And again, if he's tech savvy, why not have him apply to like a fucking auto shop, a radio store, hell, it's the 90s, Radio Shack, Circuit City. You can work in multitude of those different places and just do wonders. Like the TV repair places, any of those fucking things. And he also could have did well. But instead, he applied to a security position that purposefully would need to do a background check that requires the negative background of him getting brought up. Shit that essentially would ruin the chance of him getting a job rather than him going to some job that they wouldn't care about that aspect because that's not what the job entails or what it's for. But yeah, stupid. So stupid. I can't believe I'm harping so much on this one aspect, but it's like thinking about it, it's just so fucking dumb. And this is just the beginning of the avalanche that is the horribleness of this fucking movie. Now, the other main character that basically takes the spotlight in this movie is Black Girl. What is Black Girl? To summarize it, Black Girl essentially is an intern at a museum where the curator essentially uses her to just like to essentially go around talking about the different items and shit like that that's in the museum. And then she knows her stuff, but for whatever reason, she's just an intern. And the curator is obviously a fucking moron. But for some reason, she just feels, you know, kind of disemboweled and left out because of the fact that, hey, you know, I don't have this job or whatever. And naturally so, they made it to where her boss was this white woman, which I didn't feel that was that big of a deal. But I just felt that it was wrong over the aspect where it's like, you know so goddamn much, but then it makes it seem like, yeah, you're just definitely not going to get ahead, even though despite the fact that not only do you love what this stuff is, but you're incredibly intelligent with this stuff. Why wouldn't you essentially demand that, hey, give me a job, you know? And it's like, even like just simplistic things that could show, you know, whether or not she had a passion for trying to do it. But then you essentially see how easily it was for them to just kind of overshadow that. Whereas like, you know, they had all the cards in their hand to where it's like they knew, yes, you're good at this and everything, but we don't want to hire you because of blah, blah, blah. Or because you have this on your record, you can't get hired, blah, blah, blah. You know the deal. Something like that. Just anything that's said to essentially justify the aspect where it's like, you're stuck as an intern and that's the end of it. Which I wish the movie did. But again, like I said, doesn't clarify shit. So you got Puerto Rican, Black girl. Puerto Rican man, Black woman. Main characters, stupid. Both of them, stupid. So then you have the main dude essentially try to rob a car because he needed quick cash. His brother is sick. To which he then speaks to the best actor in the entire fucking movie, who happens to be the rapper. Toby, he did a song for the movie with Nas. It's okay. But he actually happened to be the one of the highlights of the movie, him and Bumblebee, I would say. Well, the ending with Bumblebee. But he actually, surprisingly, was a very good actor. I'm saddened to say that it was essentially because of how bad and ridiculous this movie is, that the small part that he had when he was acting is going to be incredibly overshadowed by the ridiculousness that was going on within the movies, as well as the fact that they just kept pushing Pete Davidson and the Puerto Rican guy everywhere. But he honestly was very authentic. He felt and he felt right for the part, especially considering that they were supposed to be in the 90s. When you came to the Puerto Rican actor, he kind of was very stiff and awkward, almost as if he knew he didn't want to be in this movie, or as if he just had you could just tell by looking at him that it was like, yeah, nothing that he did had any type of conviction with it. And then considering the fact that he's kind of a triple threat to where he's been in plays and he can sing and dance and he's been in movies before, that, you know, he would do a hell of a lot better. But this just felt so unauthentic, especially when it came to him just even talking and trying to say different slang terms from like in the 90s or like stuff that you might hear from New York or whatever. And none of it really came off as generic or like anything that he has said. And honestly, I would have opted out from using the slang terms to just have him talking normally with his accent, to which it would have been a hell of a lot better rather than trying to talk in certain ways. And it just came off just so overbearing. But the Tobey dude, the rapper, he actually fit well. His mannerisms, the way he acted, the way he was talking and things like that, just rolled off the tongue. He honestly fell into his part very well. And again, sad to say, the fact is like, yeah, that's going to overshadow with the fact that he's in this shitty ass movie. But hey, you know, you win some, you lose some. But the Puerto Rican goes around, steals a car. The car happens to be Mirage. Mirage takes him on a ride, to which he then takes him to the meeting location to where the Autobots are meeting up at, because the black chick that's the intern curator for the museum decides to test out some shit on some stuff that she had no business testing stuff out on, because she's just so fucking curious. And again, it doesn't make any sense considering the fact that apparently this job in itself is incredibly important to her. So important in the fact that she was willing to get treated like shit as an intern then to keep the job. But then for some reason, just because something popped up that she just didn't know about, rather than to generally have an intrigue in it and slowly build up a rapport to possibly get her to investigate it or anything like that, instead she went messing around with it on her own and fucking broke the actual thing that was that she was studying, then to reveal part of the transdimensional warp key, which then shot up a beam that only the Autobots can see, thus letting them know that, hey, there's something capable of taking them home for some reason. They came to this conclusion, even though they don't know what the transdimensional warp key is or was, but they just was like, no, this can send us home. Just cause. And ironically, it could, but it was like, how the fuck did they know this? Whatever. So then the Autobots meet up, to which you only get Optimus, RC, Bumblebee, and Mirage. That's it. That's all you get. That's so goddamn stupid. No matter what, you have to remember, Transformers was created to sell toys. If you want to sell toys, give me Transformers. Just have a bunch of Transformers. The issue that a lot of these movies have is the fact that they are not able to ascertain the fact that kids like seeing giant robots that can turn into cars. They just do. I know I did. That's why I grew up watching it. Hell, I like seeing giant robots turn into animals, which is why I first got into Transformers, because of Beast Wars. So I know my shit. And the thing is that as soon as you sit there and tell yourself that in order for the audience to understand, they need people to tell them what to feel. And it's just so unbelievably stupid, considering the fact that Transformers themselves are the people. They can speak, they can talk, they can move, they can feel, they die, and they stay dead. As long as you allow that human element to persist within the Transformers, you can have your cake and eat it too. You do not need to add a human element. Much like the show back in the day, generally the Autobots themselves only fucked with one person. And that was a little boy named Daniel, and then his father later on. That was it. That's all that they interacted with. And that's generally all that this movie needed to do. It just needed to have this one human character that you didn't need to generally focus that much on, but they build up a rapport slowly with the Autobots. Sadly enough, this honestly was perfectly executed with Shia LaBeouf within the first three Transformers movies. The third one, you know, just kind of fucking terrible. But just still, the fact that you had this one titular main character that was able to communicate, talk, and converse with the Autobots, and essentially had a feel for them because he went through hard times with them, sacrifices, helped them out and shit like that. So they relied and depended on them. Hell, it was perfectly executed within the second movie, where Optimus was asking for Sam's help, to which he replied that, I just want to live a normal life. I'm done with all that stuff. You know, it's cool that Bumblebee still is around, but I don't need to get involved with you guys. I'm just a regular person. And then they did what they did in that movie and the ridiculousness. But still, my point persists. You do not need to have these drawn out, overbearing characters that essentially give you this facade in terms of a person, so that you can sit there and care for whatever plight that they're going to, especially if your movie is not even going to answer said plight, let alone deal with it in a way that makes it to where what it is that you're bringing up about this character is even warranted, or that it fucking matters. None of that ever did. None of it does. So It's just unbelievably dumb that they continuously do this when, again, it just it does absolutely nothing for the overall aspect of Transformers, which generally should be just to sell these toys or to make people invested in this franchise overall. And the best way to do that is to focus on the giant talking robots that can feel feelings. Oh my goodness. So you essentially have Puerto Rican black chick kind of dealing with one another because they use the dude to try and steal the transdimensional warp key that she's studying and whatnot. Only then for them to be attacked by Unicron soldiers and lackeys who never explain how they found them, never explain how they were able to travel throughout space and time or whatever to get where it is that they need to go. And again, they never give a reason as to how they're able to like sense the energy or anything like that. They just kind of show the fuck up and, you know, all hell breaks loose. So on some Galactus type shit, apparently Unicron is able to give energy to these guys, making them incredibly powerful. Now this happens actually in Transformers when it comes to Galvatron, but that's neither here nor there. And then they promptly defeat the Autobots. Now, in a sense of stupidity, you have what is very odd, because again, we got to remember these movies are supposed to be more so a soft reboot for the Transformers franchise itself, kind of going in their own direction, but starting earlier. It's very weird, very complicated, nothing that's been permanently established or basically talked about correctly to justify anything that's been going on within these movies between Bumblebee and this one. But more so, you have the character of Optimus being very much well out of character, like by standards of like every single movie he's been in. You have him as someone who essentially is very crass when it comes towards humans. He does not care to have them included in what they got going on. He doesn't really want them involved, let alone not in the sense of being worried about their safety, but more so just that on the feels that he can't trust them. And to the point where you have a character like Bumblebee essentially just kind of reframe that, no, like, I trust the humans. I've dealt with them before. Hell, he just has a part where he just says, they're my friends. And that just generally applies to all humans for some reason. But it's very odd and weird that you get this with the Optimus character, considering the fact that he has more so been always the one that's just, you know, our war is our war. I don't want to get the humans involved, as it could lead to a lot of them getting killed. And that's not right. We're here to regroup and fight to take back our planet. We're the resistance. But I don't want to endanger the life that's already on this planet, because then that wouldn't really justify what we're doing if we're going to let them be killed so we can prosper. That's not who Optimus is. That's not really why a lot of Autobots even follow him. So why even have that? And it just insisted on that aspect of his character only to justify the fact that the Puerto Rican main character essentially kind of felt the exact same way when it came towards his family, thus justifying the aspect to where both of them were exactly the same. They wanted the same thing. It's just that the prospect of what they wanted just applied to their people on a racial divide, if you will. God damn it. But again, it doesn't fit with the characters, nor does it even make sense within the movie. Hell, you have the main character essentially kind of multiple times just break down that, hey, push comes to shove, let's destroy the transdimensional warp key so that the bad guys can't get to it. Because if they can't get to it, then that means that, hey, Unicron can't come here. Only then for when the option actually happened, which would have been a far more poignant and impactful moment if Mirage, the person who essentially was closer to the main character, was the one who said something. But instead, they have Optimus kind of come in front of him before he could destroy it and go, no, please, we won't be able to get back home if you do this. No, please stop. To which he listens, and then it is promptly stolen, thus making everything that he was going to do and what he was going to say an actual justifiable thing, as now the bad guys have it and they're generally going to destroy and kill everybody. But he responds to Optimus by going, I can't even be mad at you. You was trying to do what was best for your people, just like me. And that makes no fucking sense. It made no fucking sense within the movie. Because if you were, you would have destroyed it, because your hypothesis was correct. If it got into the hands of the enemy, the whole planet is fucked, and then all of you are going to die. But if you was able to destroy it, then they have no reason for being there. No one's going to destroy the planet. You're golden. But instead, he didn't, and then the enemy took it. And then later in the movie, they'll destroy it Anyway, so again, not really given a reason as to why he wasn't right, nor did I, like, you know, do something to where I was like, hey, even though you destroyed it, there still might be a way for you guys to head home, considering that was the only reason that Optimus was so hell-bent on getting the warp key in the first fucking place. Good Lord. So, just all those elements going together just makes for such a crappy and shitty concept. And then I didn't even get into the fucking Maximals, who honestly just played the part of stupid. Like, honestly, they were so not important. You could have had it to where they were ancient Autobots or other, just ancient Autobots that were there beforehand that essentially were dealing in something else, not necessarily Maximals, for it to be like the Beast Wars or anything like that, because it just didn't fit. It didn't make any sense and it didn't fit. You had it to where not only did they take the transdimensional warp key and they split it in half to hide it, that way no one could be able to use it, but they hid it in tombs and secret compartments and whatnot that then were dug up, or people were able to dig up, and it had strange letterings and numbers attached to it that were symbols that the Maximals left in order to have clues as to how to find the other keys to put them together in case they needed to put them together. The problem with this is that the Maximals themselves didn't remember their own fucking language that they wrote down for the keys. You know, these machines, these machines that we know are machines, as multiple times you'll see Optimal Optimus have holograms appear. They'll talk about different aspects with machinery. They'll showcase different machinery even between the Maximals and whatnot. And yet for some reason, different things, whatever happens with the transdimensional warp keys, they were more so like, well, that's a long lost art, or we did that a long time ago and kind of just forgot about what was going on. Don't really remember where we put this, where we put that, but we've been waiting all this time keeping this shit hidden. And if for some reason, oopsie doodle, someone was able to excavate this piece of the key from this site, but yet the other one is so much harder to find, and in which we took and removed from his compartment and then entrusted it with humans of all people, whom just had it under a piece of cloth, and it never reacted at all the same way that the other piece did upon it being released. Stupid fucking movie. All right? Such a stupid fucking movie. It unbelievably dumb. And for whatever reason, this was something that they generally thought made sense. Like, I don't understand why they thought this made sense, but they generally thought that this made sense, but it's just so much of it that was just such an inconsistent gobbledygook that it was just so begrudgingly hard to look at. But overall, the movie itself kind of just had this weird influx of where you generally got, you know, the self-sacrifice from one of the Autobots. I bet you can guess which one. He happened to be the main character of the Autobots. Oh, that's right. Pete Davidson's Mirage, y'all! Or he almost sacrificed himself, but because he was such the bankable actor that they was using for this fucking movie to the point where they were promoting his ass to the death, that not only did he not die, but he was able to sit around for a rousing speech of brotherhood that was given. And then he just woke up and then essentially made himself into a suit for which the Puerto Rican man could then wear and use to fight for some reason. I don't know why. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. But that was something that they did, into which then they just had them all fight the bad guy at the same time, and then they were able to finally put everything together. Now, to keep the black lady around, they constantly, like I said, you had it to where the Maximals conveniently forgot their own fucking language, even though that they're these living robots. They forgot their own language and the clues that they left towards how to deactivate or do shit towards this transdimensional key, the thing that's theirs that they know how to use. To the point where the black chick was actually the one who figured out where it's located, where it might be, how to deactivate it, what the code is, where she found pieces of the code, she memorized it, she knows how to translate it. Hell, even the console that she used to be able to shut down the transdimensional warp key from bringing in Unicron fit a fucking human. The Maximals is big as shit. why is the console human-sized so goddamn stupid? Hell, the bad guys put the key together and it just opened up a bridge. This bridge just magically appeared out of nowhere. It just started creating itself along with an army of bad guys to fight the Autobots and the Maximals with no explanation as to how this happened whatsoever. It just fucking happened. Stupid. Unbelievably stupid. I would say the only part that I actually got hyped for was when Bumblebee showed up near the end fight of the movie. Because he was promptly killed and then promptly brought back to life, as he is a favorite mainstay character within the Transformers franchise as far as these movies are concerned. So yeah, that was the only part that I essentially was pretty hyped for, as just the introduction of LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out just went really well, and then the action scene that they did was just okay. But this movie essentially only had three action scenes, and two of them were abysmal, and the only one that's actually worth a damn is the last one. It literally functioned just like Avengers Endgame, where you just got this big action set piece at the very end, and it kind of throws shade over your eyes for how ridiculous everything was up until this point. Hell, as much as they promoted and had the Maximals within this movie, they literally only transform at the end of the fucking movie. And then when they do, there's such a gobbledygook of shit going on that you couldn't even see their transformations clearly. Hell, they didn't even have guns. They were basically fighting melee for some reason. And it just was so, so, so bad. And then the movie itself promptly ends with the main character going into another interview, where this time he's at a low-tier company, and honestly, it's like, well, why didn't you try to do this before? And to which the guy was talking to him, and then he was explaining how now he has work experience being with the team. Because, yeah, that's something that was always an issue with his character. Also, let me remind you, nothing about his past being in the military or being tech-savvy had anything to do with this fucking movie. Aside from him basically hot-wiring Mirage, honestly, that was something that just didn't need to happen either. But aside from that, there's never a moment where him being tech-savvy comes into play within this movie, or him being a part of the military comes into play. He just kind of has this overbearing aspect where, hey, the world is at stake, but in order to protect my little brother or my family, I'm willing to blow up this thing that I don't understand or I don't know because it might destroy the world. Never a moment in time comes into play like, hey, you know, money. Like, didn't you do this for money? Weren't you doing this for money or whatever? Hell, they didn't even keep to the deal that they made with him, which is also odd because it's like Bumblebee was brought back, so he could have did it. RC could have did it. Optimus could have did it. Somebody else could have did it. That was the deal that they made with him, and he did save you guys, so least you could do. But it was like basically like brought up that Mirage was like, hey, you help us out. I could turn, like, and honestly, it was like one of the other decent parts of the movies where I was like, hey, this actually is a pretty cool idea, where Mirage was like, you know, you help us out, I could turn to any car, you sell me somewhere, and then you get the money from that, and then essentially I just turn back and break out. And it's like, yeah, that's actually a cool deal, and that's actually a cool way to get a character to be instilled in this series, or and to be doing what's going on, considering the fact that he needs money. But again, he's a boring character. This is uninspiring, and it's very, very stupid. Not the plan, but just the character. He's very, very stupid. So it just realistically was just so underwhelming and just so ridiculous. And it just, nothing made any sense. And it just did not click at all. And it just had so many different people play, what was it? It's about like five characters in the entire movie that essentially take up everything. And other than that, there's no point in caring or being invested in the other one. Oh, let's not forget the other big, giant racist aspect, where an Autobot that was in the little South America area that they were at essentially appeared and had a Spanish accent, to which the main character replied over the fact that he had a Spanish accent. And he was like, where'd you get that accent from? And he was like, where are you from? And he said, Cybertron. And he said, nah, I mean, because of your accent. To which this Autobot, this fucking robot, then replied, that's kind of racist. And then they all just kind of ignored everything and kept walking, To which the main character was like, well, I'm going to be racist. He's a robot, right? And it's so... But, this movie, man. This movie. God damn it. Now we're going to get into the final stretch of this review. I appreciate if you stuck it around, but now you're going to hear me rant and rave even more, if you will. This is coming from the fan of Transformers, that is Daniel. Again, fuck this movie. Completely ruining and destroying the lore. Hell, it doesn't even match up with fucking Bumblebee correctly. Jesus Christ, this movie is so goddamn stupid. My God, do you have any idea how fucking dumb it is to introduce the Maximals? This is an issue that I had a long time ago, and I stated this a long time ago upon them releasing and talking about this damn movie. But it is so unbelievably fucking stupid to have the Maximals interact with the Autobots. Fucker. This is some shit that they actually did within the Transformers Siege show that came on Netflix. And it didn't work when they did it then. It doesn't work now, especially if you do not actually add in the characters that are the Maximals in the way that they're supposed to be shown. Cheetor barely spoke. Rhinox didn't speak at all. Airazor didn't even fucking transform. It's so unbelievably stupid to do this when realistically the only reason that you're doing it is to try and just bolster sales a little bit because people remember Beast Wars, if in fact they do remember Beast Wars. But this could have been handled so much better if, one, they got rid of the human aspect, and two, they just focused on the fucking Transformers. For the love of God, you have yet to do a Transformers movie correctly. One that actually follows or connects with the way how they did in the series, which wouldn't be a hard thing to do. You already rebooted the series so that you basically made everyone you made it a period piece that takes place within the 90s or the late 80s and whatnot. And then essentially you made it to where everyone looks similar to their Gen 1 counterpart, which was a big fucking deal, especially within the Bumblebee series, where it's like they look so much like Gen 1, they look so much like Gen 1, but they don't do Gen 1 shit. So then what exactly is the point? So what if they look like the way they're supposed to look? They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is what's iconic about this goddamn series, you fucking idiot. So instead of actually making a good story that revolves around the Transformers and actually might be compelling, you instead wanted to just shoehorn in the Beast Wars because 90s kids remembers the Beast Wars. No, shoehorn in the Maximals because 90 kids remember Beast Wars. And then essentially you still don't make any sense as far as what the Autobots would be doing on Earth or how supposedly they're going to get back to Cybertron, because these motherfuckers are in the midst of a goddamn war. Stupid motherfucker. Hell, they even just had the mentioning of Energon, let alone it not being a main staple of Power Source, which is one of the reasons why they fight so much on Earth between the Decepticons and the Autobots in the first place. Hell, they don't even mention the Decepticons within this movie. Like, they're not brought up at all. There's a little teaser where the guy is stealing patches from motherfuckers, and one of the patches happens to be the Decepticon symbol as well as a Predacon symbol, and it does not mean anything. It's one of the laziest and stupidest ways that you can convey anything. That happens a lot, where essentially it's like, ooh, see that? It's a little Easter egg, but it has no bearing on the story whatsoever. So then it's like, well, who cares? What, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. It doesn't mean anything. Who gives a fuck? But it's like you have dumb people lap this shit up, and essentially they just feel that, like, yeah, no, they did good. I thought this way they did this exact same thing within the Bumblebee movie, where they had multiple incursions where it was different things that if you was an actual fan of Transformers, it would make you smile. Whether it was the first appearance of everyone in the Gen 1 way, them actually fighting on Cybertron, Optimus getting down on Cybertron, blowing a whole bunch of people away, killing them and whatnot. Stuff like that makes fans happy. Hell, having You Got the Touch being played as the girl was like going to this little cliff jumping beach party for whatever reason, being played in the movie, put a smile on my face. That's a very well-known song played within the Transformers old 80s show, especially on the movie. But again, it has no bearing if it doesn't mean anything, you know? And it's like, yeah, it's a nice little nudge to to fans, but this isn't doing anything that essentially the fans would adhere to or actually give a fuck about. You still haven't established the Decepticons and Autobots being able to go back and forth between battling on Earth to Cybertron. You still haven't had a good incursion or showcasing a lot of other Autobots that actually matter or might have some type of presence that people could generally like outside of Optimus and Bumblebee. You still haven't showcased or even had Megatron look right. So how the fuck could you possibly justify introducing the fucking Maximals if you're not even going to adhere to what the Maximals generally did, which literally was that they existed without any people on Earth in the first place? God damn it. These characters are capable of holding their own without people. You do not need to fill up a bunch of people in the mix in order for everyone to understand what's going on. You're not dealing with like a Clifford the Big Red Dog kind of movie or something like that, or a non-talking monster, or Herbie, the fucking car that can wink and blink and whatnot. These are actual sentient beings that just so happen to be robots that can transform. They talk, they feel, they die, they move, they do all this shit on their own. You need that character aspect through them, which they already have, as they're already known and associated fucking characters. So you don't need to go out of your way to try to make people understand or feel anything with this new motherfucker when no one gives a fuck about this guy. They're here for the Transformers. I was there to see Transformers, not whiny Puerto Rican who brother is dying of sickle cell anemia and a black chick who just does not reach for the stars. This could have been handled so much better. This should have been handled so much better. This did not need to include the Maximals. It should have just been more of what Bumblebee was essentially trying to start, which is what it ended off on, and honestly felt as if that's what they needed to grow on, which is that he came to Earth. He was built. He was helping establish a base of operations on Earth, to which then the Autobots would then use that to prepare to attack Cybertron, which should have been fine considering the fact that these people are capable of going on and off world multiple ways without the need of either a warp gate or a space bridge or anything like that. Something that they could build later on, as it is technology that is commonplace within their world. An easy fucking fix. Yes, you can introduce a kid that get wrapped up with them and helping them out or whatever. That's fine, but you don't need to devote so much resources into trying to flesh out this character who honestly is not a fun or important fucking character. They don't matter. And then you have the exact same issue that essentially Marvel has when they try to have, well, I'll say the more apt movie would be the Justice League movie, where you have this abundance of characters who essentially all need to be fleshed out. And unlike Marvel, who had separate movies to flesh out these characters, thus, when you stuck them all together, they were in edible bites. That way it was like, yeah, I know that this person does this, I know this person does that, because I've seen this movie, I've seen that movie, I've seen this movie, I've seen that movie. And because of that, it was far more easy. You could digest what was going on a hell of a lot easier. While as with this movie, you essentially forego the notion of trying to do anything when it came to the Transformers, the actual sentient beings that can speak for their own and whatnot, as well as the Maximals, other sentient beings that can speak for themselves and whatnot, and then focus your emotional attachment and aspect towards the humans who realistically are going to be in this one-off movie and kind of just push to the wayside because you're going to introduce other humans that you're going to start and build up everything all over again. So it doesn't fucking matter. But now, realistically, there is no emotional attachment to any of the Autobots who would make a reoccurrence within this series, because who gives a fuck? You didn't do anything with them. No one cares. There's a reason people enjoy Bumblebee. Bumblebee, like I said, is a main staple character who was showcased early on within the franchise when it came to Shia LaBeouf. He was the one that was always around the main character. So all you have to do is essentially give presence like that towards another character. No, it doesn't have to be the quirky, silly, funny thing that Bumblebee does when it comes to the radio, but still someone that's able to actually have some type of screen presence. And what you did in this movie by basically shoehorning in Pete Davidson unfunny ass into this movie is that you basically ruined that because you gave no type of shine to any other type of fucking Autobot, which honestly would have been a much better way of handling this. So you didn't need to involve the Maximals, rather than you just needed more Autobots. That way, if you had more Autobots or more Decepticons, you then could flesh out those characters the way how they're supposed to be fleshed out. You can dive into the complexity of the Decepticons to where you have Starscream plotting against Megatron, or you have other Decepticons loyal to a fault to Megatron without knowing what actually he did in order to take over the rule of Cybertron. You have those who do know what he did to take over the rule of Cybertron, and they just don't give a fuck. You have the Autobots, who essentially some that are like loyal to a fault behind Optimus, and some who kind of having second thoughts about joining in this resistance. You can have the infighting and the crazy ass display between the characters to where you have some Autobots that defect over to the Decepticon side, some Decepticons that defect over to the Autobot side. They can carry that humane aspect because that's what they're supposed to do. That's what they've always done. You do not need to make this so black and white when it comes to the robots, my guy. I don't understand why this is hard to grasp. All you need to do, it is so fucking easy to make a good Transformers movie. And after all these years of being able to actually show them okay within the movies, hell, I didn't even complain about the graphics because it looked fine. It generally looked fine. It was okay. But they just didn't do anything, thus making it fucking boring. So yeah, they're cool looking and whatnot, and it's fine in terms of graphics, but nothing was going on. So I was bored out of my fucking mind looking at this, and it's just unbelievably stupid. Ugh. And then the crescendo, the piece de resistance that was done at the end of this movie, is that the main character, essentially, when he went to his little interview that was turns out to be a sham in Men in Black proportions, it actually was a place that was hiring him or recruiting him for G.I. Joe. I'm going to let that sink in. It was for G.I. Joe. He already got a mechanized super suit, but then he was introduced into G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe don't exist with Transformers. G.I. Joe can't fuck with Transformers. They're different people. This movie decided to have it to where G.I. Joe was not only aware of the threat that was going on with the Autobots and the Maximals, but they decided to not do anything with the threat that was going on with the Autobots and the Maximals. And then they proceeded to recruit the guy who was dealing with the Autobots and the Maximals as if we're going to have a crossover with G.I. Joe, Autobots, and Maximals. And that is supposed to make someone happy, because that's what literally everyone has been clamoring for. We have not had a good Transformers movie or a good G.I. Joe movie. And yet for some reason, we're trying to bridge both of these franchises together. What fucking franchise? There is no G.I. Joe movies. None of them. The Snake Eyes movie was a flop because it was a crack of shit. And the other two G.I. Joe movies are very bad. The first one is palpable. I can stomach it. Right? I can stomach it. It just needed fine tuning, and it could have been good. It was doing okay with some aspects of it. How they introduced Cobra Commander, how he got made, and what they did. That was okay. But, you know, much like the Transformers dropped the ball when it came to the second movie, and then it was like, yeah, you know what, just go fuck yourself. But these movies have not done well at all, in terms of keeping to the lore, in terms of actually making sense, in terms of being overall entertaining, which is why they reset the shit in the first place. People didn't care for the last night Transformers movie. It was ridiculous. They introduced magic when it came to these robots. And I don't know why, for whatever reason, you handpick a director who essentially decided to go, I want to make this blackity black black and scream about race, as well as try to shoehorn in as many different types of accolades as you can in terms of just focusing on characters who don't fucking matter. Hell, the main character could have easily have been a combination of both the black female character as well as the Puerto Rican character all in one, where he was someone who generally was interested in robotics or artifacts and things like that, and he still wanted a paying job, but he loved doing the museum work. But more so, he was looking for, you know, trying to work two jobs at the same time while realistically having the issue of not getting paid doing what he loves, but still need to get paid doing something that he just he has to do, but he just can't. And so then when push comes to shove, it's like, all right, to make some quick money because my brother needs his treatments, I'm gonna go out and steal the car. Boom, bam, you got one character doing everything that you need. You don't need to focus so much on trying to divulge and explore these two characters, but essentially you just kind of break it down with the one. And then considering how ridiculous everything else was within this movie, I don't see that being that big of a deal or that far-fetched of a problem. But I didn't make this piece of shit movie now, did I? So, yeah, that's it. I'm going to end it there. Just needed to get that off my chest because, like I said before, I do not encourage anyone to go see this movie. It was bad. It was really bad. It had a lot of things in it that was just incredibly wrong. It had a lot of things in it that just didn't make any sense. You know, it's a movie I would say you can't even really shut your brain off and just enjoy, because it just, there's nothing really entertaining going on within it. So, yeah. No, sir, I don't like it. I didn't like it at all. And that'll be the end of that. This has been another episode of Fun with Flame. I've been your host, Dan Flame. There's always good people. Hope you have fun. Because I fucking didn't.